This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Corky Aiken.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, and we got Bridget is away with a family member who's ill today, but she'll be back very soon. Our guest is with an organization. You may not be familiar with the guest, but you'll be very familiar with the organization. Our guest today is Mother Maria Christine, and she is superior at the Little Sisters of the Poor. Welcome, Mother Superior. Is that how we address you, or what is the proper way to?
Oh, well, good morning, Jim and Corky. And what I'm most familiar with, and which I appreciate so much, is my name. So, Mother Maria Christine. You know, we can just drop off or lay aside the superior part.
<you know? laughs> Okay.
But it's a beautiful name, Maria Christine, and it was given to me in religion. So I'm very attached to that.
Yeah. So you, as you became a nun, had a new name. I mean, not your birth name. Maria Christine is your vowed name.
Yes, it is. And years and years, decades ago, the sisters were just given a name. And when my time was there in the 1970s after Vatican II, we were able to submit choices or, you know, preferences and ideas. So, you know, I kind of moved away from my baptismal name. And then I asked for Maria Christine, I asked for something else, but Maria Christine and Joseph, which is the Holy Family.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A great, great devotion to the Holy Family has meaning in my family, a large number of siblings. But so it was changed a little bit, and that's why I say it was given to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really that mark of the Holy Spirit. So nowadays, the sisters really are able to continue to submit names, many of them for practical reasons, mm-hmm. use the baptismal civil name.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So what brought you to the order to begin with? How old were you when you knew you were being called?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the landscape behind my vocation story is just kind of what I would call, or what we believed was just an ordinary family life in the suburb of Chicago. I have six siblings, my parents. We just did the normal stuff, if you want to call it that, of growing up and faith life. My parents were involved in the parish. My father was a Knight of Columbus. This is going back to that period of time, like I said, around Vatican II. My mother was in the Rosary and Altar Society. But as high school kids, we all had to go out when we were 16 and start looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I want to say there were no visions or mystical experiences about a religious vocation at that time. My first and only paying job was as a nursing assistant at the home of the Little Sisters of the Poor in Palatine, Illinois. So I was hired at 16 as a nursing assistant, and it was every bit of on-the-job training. There was no training ahead of time. So I was not considering a religious vocation. I went there as a job. I had friends, other high school, you know, peers that worked there in the home for the elderly. And what I wasn't smart enough to realize, I would say, is that God was considering this call for me, that
funny.
I was not considering for myself.
Funny how he does that for us.
It is. When you look back, you don't realize it at the time, you know, but I just fell in love. I just fell in love with older people, and I would say other staff were young, and we felt needed.
Mm-hmm.
We felt very needed, and maybe with a bit of pride, we felt that we were making a difference in the lives of those persons, those residents that didn't have a family or a support system other than the little sisters. So when I look back, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said there was no period of discernment like sometimes you find now. It was more and more free time was spent at the home. And I've often repeated my story that it was like a magnet. It was simply like a magnet that through the faces of these elderly persons and seeing the devotedness of the little sisters, that's the story.
Okay. So you did not necessarily pick your community. It picked you.
No. No, not that I know. No, I think the Lord had his hand in all of that. I did go to Catholic school where there were religious sisters, but I never felt drawn to teaching, which is quite interesting because I've had to do some of that in our own staff development and mission integration as a little sister of the poor. That's always how we marvel at how the Lord uses us.
Sure. Sister, a lot of religious organizations are struggling for new recruits, are kind of shrinking. Some are almost disappearing off, out of existence. The Little Sisters of the Poor, is it growing, shrinking, maintaining?
That's a very interesting question. And the dynamics are, I think, multifaceted. We are smaller. We reached a peak of about 5,000.
Wow.
And so, quite a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When our founder, St. John Jugan, died in 1879, the congregation was only in existence 50 years. At that time, we already had 2,400 little sisters. And I remember a priest telling me once, your congregation grew very fast and spread rapidly throughout the world. And we did. Within a short period of time, there were 300 homes around the world in more than 30 countries. And at that time of her death, like I said, 2,400 little sisters in 50 years is extraordinary. Up through the war, of course. After that, with the changes in society and in the church and what we see, we have diminished. Mm-hmm. You know, those numbers, those so many sisters that live long lives, and we don't retire. We work until we leave this earth. Mm-hmm. Many of our, one of our most active sisters here at St. Augustine's is from Ireland, and she's 90 years old.
Wow.
And she's running circles around the rest of us. Truly, you know, she has liturgy sessions with the residents every week. She has a Marian vocation circle every month. You know, she replaces the receptionist at the front door. She's she's on the computer doing forms through the St. Augustine Institute. It's extraordinary.
God bless her.
But to get back to your question about vocations, so the numbers have gone down with a burgeoning of new congregations. And also, sometimes it's perhaps that love affair with the elderly isn't always such a draw for young women as are other apostolates and ministries. It really is special. It's truly special. So we have now 160 homes still around the world and 20 in the United States.
Okay.
And I would love to say we haven't seen a vocation from the Indianapolis or Central Indiana area in quite a few years.
Oh, that's not good. If somebody listening right now, some young lady were thinking, you know, that sounds like maybe something I might be interested in, where would somebody go as the kind of first step to taking a look at whether they're fit for life as a little sister?
Well, they could come here to St. Augustine's and meet with us individually, just kind of pop in. But many of them now are searching on the Internet. Mm-hmm. So we have our website for St. Augustine's Home that is there. It's a very long email address. Or website, I should say, website. Even the email addresses, because it's all Little Sisters of the Poor spelled out. But, yes, there is the Internet, but the individual. And we like to say word of mouth. You know, those who know us, especially priests, the clergy, very often in conversations with young people, And a number of them through the years, the last number of years, have come through recommendations of priests, pastors who are accompanying somebody in discernment and know of our apostolate. You know, I think sometimes people don't understand or realize they see us very active, you know, and it is very active. There's no doubt about it, you know, taking care of persons at the end of life, trying to create a home environment, that some miss the prayer life that we have. We have a very deep prayer life every day.
Yeah, I went to, I graduated from Brebeuf, which is just down the street from you guys. So I was, as a high school student, before I knew I was what I was doing, I was there often as part of our being voluntold to do community service. And, you know, this was in the 70s, and even then it was obvious that St. Augustine had been around for a very long time. I wasn't aware until today, that it were until just recently, that it's 150 years, and you have a celebration coming up in August that we'll touch on in a minute. But whatever little history you can give us in maybe a minute or two, the elevator speech of how St. Augustine Home was started, what brought the sisters to Indiana, and why we're fortunate and blessed enough to now have 150 years of service from the order.
Well, yes. You know, that's just, it's a great milestone for us. And looking at Indiana history in general for religious congregations, so many of them, from our understanding, came through the French clergy that came over into the Diocese of Vincennes, right? Of course, before Indianapolis was founded. And our foundress, Jean Jougan, was from Brittany, pretty much a peer of St. Mother Theodore Guérin, same part of France.
Sure.
You know, so that, I think through the clergy, there's always an invitation by the bishop or the clergy for our sisters to come somewhere to a home and start a new foundation. And that's what happened. We were invited to come and arrived in 1873. And that was just, I think, 34, if I remember correctly, like 34 years after our congregation started. So it was very quickly. And it was Father, I want to get this, Father Augustus Besson, who was the vicar general and later a pastor at St. John's, downtown Indianapolis, who organized and facilitated the sisters' arrival, four little sisters. So we believe that that's where the name of our home came from, after him. He was quite a larger-than-life figure in the history of the church in Indiana, central Indiana at that time.
Mm-hmm.
All our foundations start very small. So four sisters, two little small homes downtown Indianapolis, and then we took in six residents, six elderly persons, destitute, already it was too small. Then there was a purchase of property from the Sisters of Providence, and that was on East Street and I think bordered Vermont, East Vermont. And that's where our second and third home, and of course the home on East Vermont is what people still remember today because we were there for almost over 90 years.
Wow.
And so it's very small. It's just to take care of that, solely to just take care of these older persons.
And the present home is a big facility. How long have you been there, and how many people do you take care of there?
It's a very big building. When we came in 1968, it was built for 200. And that was kind of the going number in our homes at that time. We were consolidating for different regulations, fire codes and things, combined two or three homes into one. And so it just happened to be that it was 200.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't gasp, but we have 65.
Mm-hmm.
And so the number has gone down over the years. It's been important for us to see that the residents and those who come to us have a private room.
Mm-hmm.
They all have private rooms. They have more complex health care needs. They're living longer. And, of course, with COVID, the staffing has been a challenge and continues to be a challenge. And so we have made an intentional decision in the last number of years to reduce the number down to where we feel we're able to provide the care that we promise people that we want to give them.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That makes a lot of sense.
Certainly a rich history here in the Indianapolis area. We're talking to Mother Maria Christine. She is the superior at the Little Sisters of the Poor. We're going to take just a short break here, and we've got a lot more questions because there's lots more we want to know about the Little Sisters and a big event that they've got coming up. We'll be right back.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. We're talking to Mother Maria Christine. She's Superior of Little Sisters of the Poor, and we've been talking in the first half of our program mainly about the organization, what they do and how they do it, and their history and things like that. But they've got a big event coming up.
They sure do. August 26th is the 150th anniversary of the St. Augustine home being in Indianapolis at one location or another. That's 150 years of service, a century and a half. And so, Mother, give us the lowdown. I mean, you have to be very excited. Where do we look for the information, and what's the itinerary? What's the rundown going to be on August 26th?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked us about this celebration because we really are excited. It's been a whole year, and some people in Indianapolis have said, oh, you've already celebrated 150 years. Well, we did in 2018. That was the 150th anniversary of the arrival of the Little Sisters in the United States. So all of our homes had a year-long celebration, kind of went all out, and that was great before the virus struck us in 2020. But this one is specifically about our St. Augustine's home and our arrival first downtown in the parish of St. John's. And we see this as an opportunity really to celebrate, to thank God first who called us, and then to honor really all the generations of people who have made it possible for us to welcome and to serve over 6,500 elderly persons. Some have come and stayed and died with us. Mm-hmm. Some came and stayed and left and continued on in life. But our numbers, you know, tell a story.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so, you know, what I would like to say is, you know, with this celebration, we go back to 1968 in a line that Mr. Frank McGrath, he was at the time the chair of our advisory board and the campaign for our current home that we're living in, and he exclaimed more than once that Hoosiers must be the nicest people in the world. So, really, we've just put this into our latest newsletter, because it really sums it up how we feel. Mm-hmm. And Little Sisters, over the decades that have come and gone through St. Augustine, served here, and myself now in our community of, we're 11 Little Sisters, mm-hmm. just love the people of Indiana. Mm-hmm. We love the place, and we have felt loved mm-hmm. by the people. So this is a kind of an indebtedness, a celebration of gratitude and indebtedness to so many groups and organizations, of mm-hmm. religious and civil authorities, our lay staff.
Sure.
We have lay staff now who are retiring from us after 40 years of service. So that's incredible.
Sure. Now, tell us about the celebration itself. Is it going to be a day-long event? What are some of the things that are going to be occurring during the event?
What we've planned is a 4:00 Mass with Archbishop Charles Thompson, outside. We mm-hmm. have a lot of property, but we've chosen a spot in the front of the house for an outdoor Mass celebrated by Archbishop Thompson and the priest who will be able to come and people who, you know, are joining us, and then a lawn party afterwards.
Okay, great.
So it's a lawn party there, you know, family fun. So it really begins at 4:00. Probably over, you know, at 8:00, you mm-hmm. know, so that's what we have, just kind of a family celebration. Mm-hmm. You know, We thought about, should we go downtown to either the cathedral or St. John's for a massive Thanksgiving? But that would make it very perhaps challenging for our residents.
Sure, sure.
So this is very much about them. This is their home. We want their family and friends to come and others who know us to be here. And, you know, we're doing a lot of logistics with this, and maybe the listeners will join us in praying for, you know, great weather that day.
That would be nice.
those who are helping us, you know, with tents and chairs and things are saying, what's your contingent plan? And we had this discussion outside, and about 10 people fell silent.
Right.
They sort of looked at me, and I said, there is no contingent plan.
That's right.
We
faith.
Just trust in St. Joseph,
absolutely,
the Lord to provide, and that's what it's going to be.
So you said you had staff helping with tents and things. Are you still in need of people to come lend a hand?
We have set out with some companies, some friends that have helped us, vendors, to do that, provide that service.
Okay. Do you need
volunteers? I think we're good. I'd just like to say, if anybody would love to come, you know, who knows the Little Sisters and wants to be a part of it and hasn't seen an invitation, to please RSVP on our website or to call and let us know that they would like to come, so we're prepared.
Okay, and that website is, and I'm going to try and get through this all in one breath, is
okay.
www.littlesistersofthepoorindianapolis.org, and that is all one word.
That's right.
The good
it's
news is that, like all Faith in Action shows, this will be a podcast. You can go to our website, which is catholicradioindy.org, a much shorter name, and go to the podcast page and find that website and find the link as soon as that podcast is mounted, which will be certainly before the event. Mm-hmm. And so you don't actually have to wear your fingers down typing all those letters. But once again, if anybody is wanting to scribble that down, it is www.littlesistersofthepoorindianapolis.org.
Now, Sister, are there, on an ongoing basis, not just at the celebration here, but on an everyday basis, a need for volunteers to do things at the home?
Oh, yes, always, you know, and the COVID kind of put, you know, that wedge,
yes,
in everyone's life, and included life here, too. It's so, you know, for the last year and a half, we've been coming through that and reinforcing, mm-hmm, our group of volunteers and friends that help us. But, you know, there's just innumerable ways. I'd like to say limitless, because God is limitless.
Sure.
You know, he's not confined to, you know, what someone would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
We begin with a conversation.
Sure.
To get to know someone, what would they like to do? Maybe what gifts or background, career,
sure,
you know, do they bring to this picture that, you know, we could use? But there's just, it's just beyond, you,
mm-hmm,
know, there's,
sure,
just all kinds of individuals. We need individuals that drive for appointments, that, mm-hmm, lead and assist the resident activities, board games, you know, those who peel vegetables and fruit in the kitchen that help our staff,
sure,
you know, they,
sure,
really supplement the staff and work alongside them, which is a wonderful benefit to our lay staff, that they're not alone.
Sure.
You know, we have those who come several days a week to fold linens and towels in the laundry. We have, you know, we love musicians. We love those who pay for musicians to come and entertain, whether it's in the chapel during the liturgies or at social events, those who like to run happy hours, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. It's just professionals who bring their expertise, accountants. Some of them like to look at, you know, our expenses and things, how they can help us.
Sure.
Truly, if I could ever put a plug out there for someone who's got a passion for the ecology, Pope Francis's Laudato Si, and sustainability, we're Little Sisters. We're not shining in that area.
But
we would love to. We'd love to see somebody come forward and say, "I'd love to help you get something, you know, more solid on the ground in that area."
Mm-hmm. Okay. We've got just a little over a minute left in the program here. Earlier in the program, we mentioned if somebody might be thinking about a vocation as a little sister, how would they go about that again, just briefly?
They can reach out to us personally, to come, to call, to visit. They can talk to someone who maybe could do that on their behalf. They could go to our website, any of the websites of the Little Sisters of the Poor, and we have a national one, too. But I think that, and first of all, prayer.
All right, very good. And to find out more about the 150th anniversary Mass of Thanksgiving at Lawn Party, they can go to the same website?
Yes.
And do people need to sign up for that, or can they just show up for that, or how's that going
to
work?
Well, we would ask them to sign up because we have to give numbers for the food and chairs and tables and all of those logistic things.
Okay.
You know, we want to be prepared.
Okay. And there is an RSVP. For my information, we have an RSVP date of August 20th. Is that still accurate?
Yes, if it was sooner, that would be even better.
Right.
For those providing the food, they would like it sooner.
Yeah, we know how that goes.
Would this be a suitable event for families? I'm thinking children, or
Oh, yes, all ages. You know, that was very important in the life of our founder, Sean Chugan, you know, that it's a family. And so we'd love to see, you know, the all ages, and Pope Francis is encouraging the intergenerational encounters of the youth and the elders.
Absolutely. Outstanding. Well, this is Faith in Action. We've been blessed to speak with Mother Maria Christine, the Superior of the Little Sisters of the Poor at St. Augustine Home out on 86th Street, celebrating 150 years of service coming up on August 26, 2023. Mother Maria, thank you so much. You are a light and you are a blessing, and I know that our listeners are going to come away from this program enriched and fulfilled, and hopefully this draws all kinds of responses, and you are just packed to the gills on August 26th.
Oh, thank you, Jim and Corky and everyone at Catholic Radio Indy.
Alrighty.
So appreciate all that you do. Our founders loved the media and used them.
Well, thank you very much.
That was 180 some years ago.
Excellent. Well,
this
has been Faith in Action with Jim Ganley. I'm Corky Aiken saying thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.